In chapter 6 of Joshua, we've covered how Jericho was conquered, but we also came across the concept of being cursed. And we saw that this curse is supposed to go to God so he can take it and destroy it. Right? Same way as Jesus takes our sin and destroys it in hell, so the curses need to not come to us, but God will take them away. He's the only one really capable of actually taking a curse and destroying it. Now, today we're going to see the reality of how these curses work, what happens, and how to resolve it. Okay. So we'll back it up to just highlight Joshua chapter 6, verse 18. This is Joshua talking to all the Israelites. "And ye in any wise keep from the accursed thing, lest ye make accursed." It's interesting, the word "yourselves" is in italics. It's not about yourselves, and you'll see why later. You will make something accursed. It's not just yourself, right? "And ye in any wise keep from the accursed thing, lest ye make accursed, when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it." Alright, so that was verse 18. Now we start with Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." So one person did one thing wrong, and all of Israel, all 2.5 million, even those that didn't go into the battle, all of Israel was now cursed. I'll let that sink in a little bit. Let's carry on. "Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai." Now, this AI is not AI as in artificial intelligence, it's the name of a city, right? AI, right? "And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which beside Beth Haven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 200 or 300 men go up, and smite Ai. Make not all the people to labor thither, for they are few. So they went up thither of the people about 300 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. For they chased them before the gate unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water." Okay, so up until this point, every battle fought with Moses on the other side of the Jordan River, they won. The battle against Jericho was an amazing, amazing destruction of Jericho complete. Right. And of course we know from last time, the destruction was to get rid of this evil DNA substances that had been engendered there, right? But now, just a few of them go up against this tiny city and they get chased away. All of a sudden, the Israelites now, their hearts are melting. How is it that the enemy can beat us? How can we possibly be defeated? We thought God was with us. Look at what God did in Egypt. Look at what he's done to those giant kings and all of their people. Verse 6. And Joshua rent his clothes. Rent meaning tore. Right? And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until eventide. He and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us unto the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. Well, you see, they can't be content and stay on the other side of Jordan because God had given them an instruction to come here. And they'd already gotten proof that they were actually in the right place because they'd been doing everything right. Okay. Verse 8. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear, and shall environ us around, and cut off our name from the earth. What wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned. Notice, we know that there's only one person that sinned. That's not how God sees things, right? That's not how God sees things, and that's how we have to start getting our heads right. Israel hath sinned. Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and have put even among their own stuff. Now notice here, we know that it's only one person, right? Look at what God says. Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put even among their own stuff. This is such an important principle. God continues. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, turned backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Okay. So, don't think that if you keep accursed things in your house, then God is with you. He's not. Don't think if you keep accursed things on your car or your vehicle or your other property that God is with that part of your life. He's not. You got things hanging from the mirror or whatever the case is. You got symbols and emblems on your car that do not honor God. Don't expect God to be where you are putting cursed things on. And this is where tattooing becomes a big issue. God said don't. Now, we know that it is the intention of your heart that God looks at. So you might not be able to take a tattoo off right now. You can cover it up and make sure that it's not seen by anybody because you're embarrassed by it. You should be embarrassed by it. And You're saving up somewhere on the side to be able to go get it taken off. And anybody who comments, you tell them the truth. I should never have done that. I didn't know it was wrong, but I should never have done that. That goes for all the other things that we keep around and do. It's just tattoos are on us, and that's the problem. We've got to get them off. But God looks at your heart. For as long as your heart is, this is wrong, I shouldn't have it on me, I need to get it off me, and it's passion, and you have a plan, and you're working that plan, God considers it being taken off. Right? The problem is, while it's on you, you can mislead other people without even knowing. They might think, oh, it's okay, he's got one, I can have one. You've got to let people know this is not right. Just remember that every time you have something that's accursed, it's not just that God is not with you. It's that Satan has permission now to do things in your life. And you just don't want that, right? And don't spiritualize this, because what people do is they say, oh no, everything's spiritual now. You know, it's just my spirit is going to heaven, that's fine. My body, don't worry about it. I can do whatever I want with my body, but, you know, it's my spirit. I have to live this good Christian life. No. If you live in your heart, your body needs to follow suit. Otherwise, you're lying to yourself. Go back to verse 12. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, turned backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel, thou canst not stand before thine enemies, until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be, he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. Well, we don't burn people by fire nowadays, right? Because we have Jesus who has paid. Jesus has paid for sin. That's why you can't hold sin against your brother or sister. If they do something wrong, you cannot hold it against them, because you don't know if they've gone to Jesus and said, Jesus, I'm really sorry. Okay. You also don't know the heart of another person about the tattoos that they're wearing. You don't know that. I was intrigued to see the most tattooed man in one of the South American countries. Gave his heart to the Lord, and he's been removing tattoos off his body ever since then. And it's just about completely tattoo-free. It's quite an amazing story. But the reality is, his heart was to get right. Now, yes, Jesus has paid for it, but it's our responsibility not to lead other people astray into what is wrong. And that's one of the things that's a real problem. Some sins nobody else knows about. God knows about them, and they do contaminate your thinking, and they contaminate your life. And remember, what goes on in your mind is going on in the spiritual realm. A lot of what goes on in people's minds, you cannot do to other people, spiritually or physically. You cannot do that. You need to quit it. You need to stop it. Thank God for Jesus, because without Jesus, this is where we would go. We would be, for the first time we did something wrong, we would be destroyed. Verse 16. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites. And he brought the family of the Zerahites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household, man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord. Notice, he sinned against the Lord. But in truth, he's actually trespassed against all of Israel. By doing something evil in the midst of something, you are trespassing against all of that place, all of those people. I've sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them. One of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet. When you want something that's not yours, when you've been instructed no, and you go ahead anyway, that's coveting. This happens a lot in business, where people say, you know what, I really need to do this, and it's easier to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission. So I don't care about any other projects or anything else that anybody else is doing. I'm just going to do what I want to do. And other people just get hurt in the process. Coveting hurts others. Coveting destroys the place that you live in. And it can destroy it emotionally. Coveting somebody's wife. Your own wife could have a real big problem if she knew what was going on in your head. Right? These things are wrong. You've got to make a decision that you're not going to do this. And it starts by loving God first. Because you see, if you really love God, you're not going to want to covet. It's easy to love your neighbor when you're loving God. Go back to verse 21. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, or 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they hid in the earth in the midst of the tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? You see, one person doesn't just sin and affect themselves. They affect everybody around them. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day, And all Israel stoned him with stones and burnt them with fire. And after they had stoned him with stones, and they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Okay. There's a key phrase you've got to walk away with when you're looking at this. When it comes to intelligence, this phrase that we see here, so the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Why was God so fiercely angry? You see, that one person had allowed Satan to come in and to actually bring a curse into the entire Israel. And he loves Israel. And the same way as a husband will defend his wife against others, in that same way, God is fiercely angry against sin that is destroying his bride. Now, we are part of Israel in the sense that we weren't born Jewish. And remember, Jesus said a Jew is a Jew inwardly. In other words, you have to have given your heart to Christ. Whether you were born a physical Jew or not is no longer relevant. Right? The Jews brought the law. The Jews made sure that Jesus was sacrificed. The Jews rejected Jesus so that the rest of the world would have a chance to accept him. And very soon, the Jews are going to turn to Jesus. And then God is going to close the whole book. But in the meantime, God is fiercely jealous about who comes and messes up your life, my life, and everybody else's lives. Because he sees us as one bride for Christ. And when you remove those things that are cursed, God is no longer angry at what is cursing you. You're not angry at the people who used to be in your life that are no longer in your life because they were dragging you into sin. You've walked away from them. God will deal with them in his own way. It is really, really important to realize that there's so much going on in the hearts and minds of the people around you that could be destroying what's going on inside you, inside where you are. You know, there's in business, there's a statement that says, culture eats strategy for breakfast. And what this means is, if you have the wrong culture, it doesn't matter what kind of plans or strategies you have. You'll never achieve your strategy if the culture is wrong. If the people in your business do not culturally live your values, they are going to destroy what's going on in terms of your business, because they won't make the right decisions. Now, God has his culture and his values. And his values are very clear in the law. And the law hasn't changed. Jesus did not change one single tiny little bit of the law. He fulfilled, and this is important, right? He paid for the curse of the law. The curse of the law was death. He hasn't changed the law. The law still stands. But by giving your heart to Jesus, he stands in your place. He becomes cursed for you. And he gets destroyed in your place. you get saved as a consequence of this, then I mustn't go keep living like that. So many times people think that they're getting things right. And whereas they could measure things physically by seeing physical things go wrong here. And yes, we can also see physical things going wrong. But the real danger and the real destruction that's taking place is happening in your spiritual life. The real you, the one that's going to go to heaven or hell, that's where this is really going wrong. And you need to live right. You need to get rid of the things in your house that are cursed. And if you're not sure how to do that, you can go to the webpage multidimensionalthinkers.com/a-life-is-worth-living. And that worth is W-O-R-T-H, worth living. multidimensionalthinkers.com/a-life-is-worth-living. And you will see a link on there called Spiritual Warfare. And if you go into that Spiritual Warfare page, you'll see a number of videos that talk about house cleaning and things like that. There's one for teenagers, there's one for children, there's one for general, etc. And you can go and you can look at the things that are cursed and why they're cursed. You can hear the testimonies of what actually took place and how they clean things up and why certain things are a really big problem. And get rid of those things. Look for them and get rid of them. Take them out of your house. If you are living in your parents' house, well, you can't take it out of the whole house, but your parents are letting you stay in your room, well, then you clean your room. And you take those things out of your room. You ask your parents, can I please clean and scrape off these things off my wall? I don't want them. Can I rather paint over just a plain paint? Can we please do that? God will destroy that which is cursing you. But in the process, for as long as you hold on to the cursed things, you're going to wind up getting hurt in that process. So get rid of the things that are cursed. Right? Remember, we don't harm people. We don't harm animals. Animals, you give away. People, you walk away from. And of course, we pray for people, right? Keep praying for people. If you're married already, now, understand that you have marriage vows. Have a look at what the word says to married couples, where one is a Christian, the other one isn't. Because the Bible's clear on that. Paul makes it clear. You can certainly separate if you are unequally yoked. And it's interesting that because Jesus uses the words, he says, that the only reason why you can separate is for fornication. And it's interesting the way it's worded, because that fornication is, one, it could be physically, sexually, and the other one is you could be fornicating with idols. You could be wanting to spend time with the Lord and have a house that's beautiful and given to the Lord, but your spouse is fornicating with idols and idol worship and all sorts of other things like that. Doesn't mean you have to separate. But God is saying if there's a curse going on, he's not happy. And don't be surprised when things are going wrong in your life. Turn from these things. It is intelligent to make sure that you do not put yourself in the firing line between God and His bride. Don't contaminate your environment. Don't contaminate other people with the evil stuff that you're hanging around and doing. God will put you into serious trouble if you do that. I'm not sure what Holy Spirit is speaking to you about, but if you're following along with us in the handbook, then make your keywords in the second column and score yourself in the right. God bless and have an absolutely beautiful day.